the presentation just this week of Station Theater's production of the Enough series, which aired on YouTube on Monday night and was a real tremendous success.
And it will still be available. Originally, it was just going to be a one-time shot, but it will still be available until Sunday. So if you didn't get to catch it last night, then, well, I guess this is going to be airing on Thursday. So if you didn't get to catch it earlier, you have a couple more days to check it out, and we'll put the link on our Facebook page.
It's there. You can find it also on the station Facebook page. It was seven, approximately 10-minute long plays, all having to do with the epidemic of gun violence, written by award-winning high school playwrights. And we knew from reading it that it was moving, that they were all moving and inspiring and great works, but seeing them come to life with great young and not young talent in our area was spectacular. So we're lucky today to be joined first by Dr. Nicole Anderson Cobb, who is the mother of one of the stars of one of the shows, Tyler Cobb, who was in Guns and Dragonland. So Nicole, thanks for, Dr. Anderson Cobb, thank you for joining us on See You at the Show. We have both seen you talk before. You were part of the BIPOC panel at the station and have been involved in some other theater things in town. What is, can you tell us a little bit about your theater background?
Well, my theater background, I mean, I'm trained as a historian in history and Africana studies. After I finished my doctorate, I needed to clear my mind. And so I, over the summer, I was living in Chicago and decided to take a course at Chicago Dramatists on the Near North Side, and had this idea. I had been doing some research on gun violence in Chicago and kind of looking at police reports and coroner reports. But when I plugged myself into that playwriting class, it was like I had this moment in the first day of class that I should take all that information and dramatize it. And thus came my own play, actually I have a copy, which was called Tangled.
Yeah, we have that.
And so that started my own kind of journey. That play, you know, was produced for conferences at colleges, universities, seminaries. And I wrote several other plays that looked at gun violence. Another one called Campus Jihad, which looks at gun violence on a college campus. And so it really involved me continuing to write and continuing to be invited to make work and to present my work in various kinds of contexts. So that went on. These plays have traveled, like I said, for the first few years, probably up until about 2013. And then I was at Espresso Royale. Hate to plug our local venues, but these are places I love that inspire me. I was at Espresso Royale on Duncan in 2013, awaiting the kind of the decision around the Trayvon Martin killing. And I just had this moment. I said, I know other people are writing. I know other people are writing about this moment. I know other people are thinking about gun violence. And I said, well, let me put out a call and see what other playwrights are thinking about. And so 240 plays later, the Gun Play series was born. And that took 3 years. It was from 2013 to 2016 where we got that project. We got those plays judged and got awards sent out. And then Latrell Bright, our local muse, our fearless general, invited me to be a part of the station's interest in producing 10 plays over a year. And so that has been the journey of my work, from presenting my own work to kind of featuring work from writers around the country and around the world in some ways that address this issue of gun violence. So that was, that went on 2000, the plays were staged from 2016 to 2017. Took a break, started living life, went back, did some retooling as far as education. And then, you know, November 2013, I mean, 2020, Prince Robertson contacts me and says, hey, I'd like for Tyler to audition for Guns and Dragonland. And so I moved from being kind of concerned about my own gun violence projects to considering a project for her.
Right. And Tyler, you're 9? Are you 9 years old? Is that?
I'm 9.
Yeah. And so.
Where do you go to school, Tyler?
I go to school at Kenwood Elementary.
Nice. So you would be in fourth grade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Do they have any sort of a drama program, or do they do plays at Kenwood?
Not really.
Have you ever done any sort of acting before Guns and Dragonland?
Yes, I did do something that was kind of like this, and it was like my beat by beat. Mm-hmm. It was like beat by beat press, I think, and it was called Super Happy Awesome News. That
did you do that through Class Act? Was that
yeah?
And
yeah.
Who was your teacher?
Miss Jackie.
Yeah, and we should have given Jackie credit at the beginning, because she was really the power behind this whole Enough series, using all of her resources, both through the station and through great contacts like with Latrell and plugging in. So anyway, a super, super happy, whatever it's you just described, sounds a little bit different than Guns and Dragonland. This was probably a lot more serious.
It was a lot more serious, but it was kind of easier because that one had the Super Happy Awesome News had lots of excitement and singing and stuff and acting, but this just had acting, so it was easier.
I guess even though the subject was really serious, the most of the play itself was pretty innocent, right? It was just you on the playground with your imaginary friend. And maybe if we didn't know what the theme was, it would have been a big surprise at the end what happened.
Yeah, because when I was reading it through, it was kind of a surprise what happened at the end. But it wasn't like a really big surprise because of the title, because it was going to be something about that. So I was kind of like, when I was reading it through, I was expecting it to happen, but it was still kind of just not in the way I was expecting.
Right. So did you guys have, you know, did you talk about gun violence before you took this project on, or did Prince kind of, did you guys talk about it during the process of recording and rehearsing?
When I read the script, I remember it was Thanksgiving night, and I read it over, maybe it was the night before Thanksgiving, and I was like, we can't do this. Uh-huh. You know, I was really, for all of my own gunplay experience, that I think that mama, you know, that mama bear protection kind of rose up. But this is something that is a part, you know, it's been a part of my life for the last decade. Tyler also has an uncle that is in law enforcement. And so it is a, you know, it's a feature of our lives, you know. Yes, you're in the interest of full disclosure, her uncle is the chief of police. So, you know, it is kind of a, you know, it's part of our family life and our kind of ongoing conversations. Makes for really interesting family meals that we used to have family meals. I think just as an African-American kid, as a kid who's going to public school, you know, as a kid who has family members in law enforcement and the military, and it's kind of part of our lives in many ways. So when the play came up, and because I had done this work before, it was difficult because it became super personal. But why did I change my mind?
Because when you called me down, we read it over. It was Thanksgiving night. We read it over with my dad, and we just kind of talked about it. And then my mom asked me how I felt about it, and I said that I felt like I wanted to play. But at first I was kind of like, I'm not sure, kind of still trying to read it through, trying to understand the character and how she would act. Mm-hmm. Kind of trying to fit what she would look like and what she would do into my mind.
So she was already doing that while I was still trying to decide.
Right.
Yeah, that's some advanced character work right there, Tyler. Very good. I read about the woman, the young woman who wrote this play is a high school girl or high school young woman named Iceland Grayson. And did you see how she came up with the idea? Did you do any background into her?
Well, at the time when my mom sent me the email about the backstories of the plays, I was still working on the play, so I still had to go over the script. So I didn't get to do a lot of research, but now the play has sadly come to an end, now that I can do more research.
Right. Well, this playwright has an 8-year-old brother, and so she got the idea for the play by riding in the car with him one day after school, and he was talking about how he was scared that they had to do something at school where he had to hide from a bad man. And so that's just a really tough thing to think about. And is there any sort of stuff that you've gone through at school that involves training for stuff like this?
Well, we do have something called an Alice drill. So at the beginning of a quarter, we practice if someone breaks into the school or someone's in the school, either we're getting out or staying out of the school.
Does that make you feel safer or more scared?
Well, it doesn't, it makes me feel, well, I'm, I know it's a drill and it's with all my friends, so it makes me feel safe. And since my uncle's a chief of police, I don't worry as much as the other kids.
Right.
I still get scared, but we talk about it. But it doesn't really scare me. But one time, we had to have a soft lockdown at school because one time these boys in another class were chasing a wild goose and throwing rocks at it, and it hit a window of someone that lives around there, but the person didn't come out, but we still had to stay inside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard just watching you on the Zoom screen and hearing you say words like soft lockdown. It just is kind of I see you shaking your head, Dr. Yeah. Anderson Cobb, and I know that it's got to be tough as a mom for your sweet little child to know words like that.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I think that, you know, when she talked to me about, she said, "Well, mommy, I know how to do the Alice drills." And she said, you know, and then she talked about her friends and what their experiences were like in their schools, you know, at Bodenfield and different schools around town. And my husband looked at me and he said, she can do this, you know, because this is a part of her reality in her school life in a way that it's challenging. You know, we look over all the paperwork when it comes home, you know, we have a great relationship with our principal. I mean, my husband has attended some of the pre-training meetings in the district. So, you know, kind of talked about, you know, any of the mental health implications of the drills itself. Right. But it's wearying and it's worrying.
Right.
And I think, like I said last night, she's been so focused on her play on Guns and Dragonland, for her to see all seven, it was really overwhelming for her.
Yeah, it was overwhelming for adults. It was hard. Even after reading all of them and seeing some of the pre-production of it, because I'm on the station board and was helping behind the scenes, it was still hard seeing it all together last night. It was it's a lot. But it's really important, and I'm hoping that things like the plays that you wrote and the Enough play series, that, I mean, it's all working toward the same goal of making our society safer and, you know, getting better laws put in place and stopping gun violence at the root, instead of just running Alice drills and stuff like that, actually keep gun violence from happening in various different ways. So it's important, but sad that we have to do it.
And Tyler, your portrayal was really powerful, because the two of us were actually sitting right here, and it was right around Thanksgiving when we read the play for the first time. And so she read your part and I was the toucan, and we knew that it was good, but it wasn't powerful. And the way that you were that character and embodied that character and kind of took us on the journey of innocence to the moment of loss of innocence was so dramatic. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it, and we'll probably play some clips of it on our show maybe next week. But I just want to thank you for really doing a great job with that part.
And I also want to encourage you. I hope that you continue to act. You have a really good gift there, and you seem very mature for 9. And so I hope we get to see you in other things.
Thank you. And I really like to act and to sing, and I just want to keep doing it.
Well, and you've got playwriting genes in your body too from your mother. So maybe that would be something you want to try your hand at someday also, because these were just high school kids that wrote these amazing plays. And I know that, I don't know if Kenwood does something like that, but my son went to BTW, and they had, when he was in fifth grade, they did a playwriting contest, and then they actually took some students at Krannert that actually acted them out at Krannert. That was a really neat program. I don't know if all the other schools are doing that. I wanted to ask about the Gunplay series. Did any of your plays put on in town, Dr. Anderson Cobb, or were any of them part of it?
My plays were done at the university. Kathy Perkins, who was in the theater department at the time, she did a reading of Tangled for the University of Illinois Theater Department in the Black Box Studio. But we haven't done any other readings. And there have been a couple of people who've used the play in their classes, but I've had more productions. Like, we did a production at Howard University in DC, was produced at a theater conference in Arizona a few years ago. It was produced at the Lutheran School of Theology for a Lenten program that they were doing. So it's gotten a good amount. Oh, and then, I'm sorry, it also had a 16-week run at the ETA Theater on the south side of Chicago when I first finished it up. So it's been produced, you know, in a bunch of different places, but we haven't had an opportunity to do much of it locally. Some of it, you know, is about university scheduling and, you know, kind of having to be, you know, at the academic calendar. And so
after watching the 7 different plays produced Zoom style yesterday, did you think that work, or Stillwater's Black Rain or Campus Jihad, do you think that any of your plays might be well suited for that sort of a format?
You know, it's interesting. We did a reading. Latrell got a group of folks together over the summer just to kind of read some stuff. And it's amazing, you know, how well, you know, with the right amount of stage direction, it's amazing how this there are possibilities that are there. I think you'd have to look at the cast list, but in the process of writing it, I've tried to narrow it. But absolutely, I mean, I think they can work. But it's one of those things that you'd have to see it. But seeing the most of the plays were larger than Tyler's, and they seem to have worked really well.
Right.
So, yeah.
So I think the possibility could be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And because unfortunately, we don't know how long we'll have to do plays over Zoom instead of doing them in person. So we're still trying to, especially with the station, we're trying to figure out how to continually do content, but do it safely. In fact, in February, we're hoping to have some short plays done by people who are quarantined together. So do you act as well? Because maybe your family could be involved in that if you're interested.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I've acted before. Now I can't speak for my husband. I have to say that. but I certainly would be willing, you know, to look at a script. And yeah. Tyler and I are, you know, yeah. We certainly consider it. Yeah.
Yeah. The theme is supposed to be love, but it's all types of love. It doesn't have to be romantic love. You know. Mother-daughter love, any kind of, you know, since it's going to be produced in February, we're kind of doing an upbeat, happy theme since we just did something.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Let's put the guns away for Valentine's Day at least.
Right. So we'll keep you in mind. We'll definitely be in touch.
Well, thank you both for joining us on See You at the Show. I really hope we see more of you on stage, Tyler. And I really enjoyed everything you did in Dragonland. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that with us
on the show.
Thank you for having her. And thank you for giving her the feedback. Because last night she was really emotional and she was like, Mommy, there's gun violence in so many places. How will this make a difference? And I said to her that your work, you know, lifting up this work and however we can help to really put these ideas on people's minds. So it really helps a lot, because sometimes even as a young artist, you can wonder, you know, how much difference am I making? Am I reaching people?
Right.
So, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody who stayed on and had the show, we got feedback and heard how people were impacted. I've had emails today because we spread word out on our Facebook channel, and they said that Guns and Dragonland really did make a difference. It really did, you know, it stuck with people. I mean, my son's in high school, and he said that was the highlight of his viewing experience was watching you. So thank you for that. Congratulations. You did great. All right. Well, thank you for joining us on See You at the Show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
Guns and Dragonland by Iceland Grayson.
I'm Lila Gordon, the Princess of Dragonland, and you shall listen to me, dragon.
A dragon. Toucan appears dramatically, growling and snarling fiercely as they approach her. Lila wears a smug look of bravery on her face. Toucan pounces, enveloping Lila in a giant bear hug from behind.
Did I get you this time?
You never do. You don't fantasy. You have a fantasy of fun playing together on the first day of the I feel like it's my job as Princess of the Dragon to not be afraid of any dragon.
Oh, I suppose you're right. One of these days, I'll catch you off guard. Hey, what are we doing today, Lila?
We can climb the castle spire of the jungle gym.
No, we did that Wednesday.
We can play fireball.
No way. I threw my wing out the last time we played. This 509-year-old physique isn't what it used to be.
Oh yeah, you got it caught in the soccer net. I remember going to the nurse for you. But she wouldn't give me a day of ice for you. She said it was a waste.
That's right. No good, non-believing crone. Hey, what are they doing over there with that ball? Looks pretty dangerous and violent. Let's go play.
No, I don't want to play with them.
Aw, man, it looks so fun. Why not?
Saving me. I don't really want to talk about it.
You know you can tell me anything, right?
Yeah, that's why I'd much rather play with you. We can have flying lessons.
Well, maybe for a little bit. I don't want to waste our daily 30 minutes on something too dangerous.
Yes!
Lila runs over and stands on top of a swing. Toucan stands behind her and begins to push. Lila awkwardly gains height. When she's at her average distance, she jumps off, falling to the ground gracelessly.
Ow, 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 ow.
Gorgon brains, I knew this was a bad idea. We really should have learned the last 5 times that this happened. Where does it hurt?
My leg, my knee.
Gotcha. Let me do my thing.
Preview.
Thanks, Toucan. I just don't understand why flying never works for me.
Lila, we've been through this. Humans can fly about as well as a phoenix can swim.
Well, I want to be the best flying human. How did you get going?
It's a pretty long tail.
Don't feel bad. I love your tail. It's a nice moon. It feels like a pillow made of jeans and old people's.
No. I mean, tail. Like a story. It's a pretty long, boring story.
Pretty please with a fish on top?
Well, all right. The fish on top convinced me. If you must know, it was my 300th or so birthday, and I was trapped deep down inside a cave of goblins.
300? That's like 300 more years until I get my own wings.
Hey. Look at you. Someone's been paying attention in math. Personally, I don't believe that age has anything to do with it. You see, in that cave, I helped those goblins by finding a magic amulet of peace, or something. Long story. But anyways, I got my wings that day by performing a valiant action.
That's how I learned to fly. I'll get my wings when I perform a gelatin action.
Valiant, hun.
Come on, let's go perform a valiant action before recess is over. I already see kids lining up.
All right, you're the boss, princess.
Ah, Toucan, right here. There's 1,001 army of insectoids who want to steal the kingdom's food. We have to stop them.
Whoa. Hold your sentence. These hungry insectoid soldiers didn't do anything wrong. They're completely defenseless. How would you feel if someone 100 times bigger stepped on you?
I wouldn't like that very much.
You wouldn't like it very much, would you? Nope. Yep, that's my thought.
Oh, Toucan, this is useless. There's nothing battalion to do here, and everyone's already going back inside.
The valiant, hun. And these things take time. I'll see you tomorrow, Girly Q. Pay attention in math.
No, wait. Toucan, I just got an idea. What if I hid here? We could have so much more time to think of heroic things to do.
Ooh, what a fun idea. Let's do it.
Awesome. We did it. Over.
I was going to ask you the same thing.
Whoa, what was that?
No idea. I don't see any dark clouds. Can't be an angry thunder dragon.
Maybe it's a whole unicorn.
That didn't sound like any unicorn I've ever heard before.
Are you okay, Toucan? I've never seen you so nervous before.
Yeah, I guess I'm just a little uneasy is all.
I love you, Toucan. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Love you too, Lila. Your hugs make me feel like I can do anything.
Good, because I have a feeling our next quest has to do with that
moment. All right. I guess we're going into that school after all, huh?
Yep. Let's go save that creature, or defeat it, whichever comes first.
Whichever comes first. Oh, hang on. Your sword, princess?
Ah, yes, my swordy sword. Most valuable relic in all of Dragonland. Now that I have my weapon, let's be off.
How are we traveling today, co-pilot Lila?
I think we should teleport today, co-pilot. Wait, Toucan, over.
Sounds like a plan. Prepare for takeoff, over.
are listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. This has been the WEFT.